Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, a podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever, and then we talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
So, how's it going, Ben?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
I was reading in other horror news. Look at this headline. Hysterical Brazilian woman punches herself and leaves the cinema screaming in horror after watching Annabelle Creation. So she went to watch this film, and it sort of had like a panic attack, and she ran out and started punching her face. And I've seen the video. It's pretty horrific.
But, is it PR stunt? Yeah.
Don't know. Because... Well, it's not been reported that way.
Punching your face. Have you ever watched anything that has given you such an extreme reaction as that?
Well, you went to watch The Dark Tower the other day, right? So, I mean, did you come out of that?
I did.
Punching yourself in the face?
I wasn't punching myself in the face. I was punching other people in the face. No. The Dark Tower, I'm not going to go into it massively.
Yeah.
But, you know what? As a film, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
It's
an adaptation of Stephen King's magnum opus. It's not all right.
I
kept my expectations low, and from the trailers and everything, I kind of knew what to expect.
Okay.
And it delivered on what I expected and more.
I like to have the lowest expectations always work, but like sometimes just having no expectations.
Just in general, just in life, I think that's a great attitude to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was all right, you know. I think if you're a big fan of the books and you want to see a film version of the books, that ain't it.
Stephen King, like, you don't have to watch that because there's like a million adaptations this year. Like, It's coming out, which we're going to do an episode on. Mr. Mercedes TV show, which I've been watching, which is really good.
Oh, you've been watching it?
Yeah, it's
great. Oh, great.
I've not read the book, but it's...
I read the book and I was iffy on it. I didn't think it was fantastic. It was okay, but it still could be a pretty good story for a TV show.
Yeah. And what else is Stephen King's always had like a shit ton of adaptations coming out.
Yeah.
Seems to have anyway.
Yeah, because his content is ripe for adaptation.
Yeah.
Ripe for picking.
Yeah. Okay. So we will do an episode on it at some point in the future. When does it come out? Is that soon?
I believe it's the 8th of September. I'm not sure if that's a UK or a US release.
Ages away.
It's goddamn ages away, man. Yeah, but I'm assuming we're going to be doing a specific It episode. Are we going to do it the week of, or are we just going to...
We may as well try.
Hey, man, we'll just see what our schedules are like, yeah? Okay. Well,
it's definitely something I want to go watch pretty soon as it comes out. So, we'll try to get that in. Yeah.
I feel to say, don't want any spoilers, though, do you?
No. But I watched another horror film recently. I watched 47 Meters Down.
I think it's called Sharkies.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it never kind of went full horror film. I kind of really wanted it to. There's not enough gore for me. Not enough shark taking limbs off action.
Was this a cinema trip or did you find it?
No, yeah, it was a cinema trip. Yeah, yeah.
It was. It was a cinema trip. Wow.
And I probably, should have gone to watch It Comes at Night. I think I would have preferred that.
Yeah, I've already mentioned this, but it didn't show anywhere near me, so I need to wait a while.
Yeah. Horror films for you. Okay, so today, back to the list. Last week, we did... what did we do last week? We talked about...
The Descent.
The Descent. And then this week, we are talking about number 27 on the list, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it, Ben?
Sure thing, Mr. Condor. Okay. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a 1974 American horror film directed and produced by Tobe Hooper. We've come across him before, and I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Tobe Hooper, who co-wrote it with Kim Henkel. It stars Marilyn Burns, Paul A. Partain, Edwin Neal, Jim Sydow, and Gunnar Hansen. Yeah, we know who that is. Who respectively portray Sally Hardesty, Franklin Hardesty, the hitchhiker, the proprietor, and Leatherface. The film follows a group of friends who fall victim to a family of cannibals while on their way to visit an old homestead. The character of Leatherface and minor plot details were inspired by the crimes of real-life murderer Ed Gein.
It's bad when my trivia is like right in the intro. Like you just have the answer right there.
I've ruined the whole thing. There's like 10 trivia questions completely obliterated there.
I need to get more obscure with my trivia.
By my, you know, my bloated intro. That was a pretty bloated intro.
Oh, okay. Are you done, or have you got more intro to go?
I'm done.
Okay, cool.
Finished. I'm full up on intro now. Yeah. I think I can't get into the podcast.
See you later. Okay, so this is what the Empire people had to say. 5 years after Scooby-Doo first aired, Tobe Hooper similarly put some teenagers in a van to endure a scary mystery. Their experience was rather different. Maybe they should have brought a dog, although it's doubtful it would have helped them. Actually quite light on gore, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre nevertheless remains a uniquely gnarly, punishing experience, from its grotesque production design to its family of cannibal freaks and its standout villain, Leatherface. Some have suggested an intriguing Vietnam-era subtext about America eating its young, but the film functions perfectly well without it on a pure, primal level. Burns' screams ring in your ears long after the exhausting last act is over. I did think the last act was quite exhausting. The final shot of Leatherface dancing with a saw is an indelible image. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 88% fresh. It's got 7.5 out of 10 on IMDb. The Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, Kev Hurst, said, great stuff. Edward Harvey said, it's one of the greatest horror movies ever, in his opinion. The low-speed 16mm film they shot it on adds so much to the weird documentary-like atmosphere. They use the camera so well that it's actually beautifully shot. Performances are top grade. Marilyn Burns, the final girl, was tremendous. The ambient emotionalness, soundscape score is just perfect. Michael Moyunda says, Leatherface is definitely one of the great villains in the history of horror films. The ending is also one of the great endings where I never know how to feel with what just happened. It's unsettling in a good way with how things conclude. Definitely deserves to be on the best horror list. So, initial thoughts, Mr. Errington. Are you a Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan? Are you a Texas Chainsaw Massacre hater?
Massacre hater. I've always kind of like, this film has always been one of those films that I genuinely am a little bit frightened of. Don't really know why. Can't quite put my finger on it. Possibly it's because I saw it quite young and it's kind of always like lingered there as being something. It's just quite unnerving. It's not a typical sort of like slasher film. It just doesn't. I think when this film came out and the years that sort of preceded it, there wasn't anything really like this, was there, at all? This kind of like span off the sort of like slasher genre or sort of everything like that. And again, another film on this list which seems like it overdoes it on certain tropes, but you know that this was one of the films that
this is where the tropes came from.
Yeah. This is the beginning. This is the, I know films now are obsessed with the beginning and the how sort of certain characters came to pass, but the fact that there was such mystery and intrigue around this family and these characters, you didn't know anything about them until you just see them sort of committing these acts. We don't really find out why they do it, how long they've been doing it, anything like that. These are all questions that kind of linger throughout, and you kind of expect them to be answered, and when they're not, is still kind of all right. But yeah. Pretty terrifying. I think everything from this is unnerving from the get-go.
Yeah.
And I think there is something about the way it's shot as well that it just does feel...
Well, yeah, so I used to have a Woodstock DVD, and it was like a DVD about like... So it was behind the scenes. It had all like performances of Jimi Hendrix and those guys. But then it also had like lots of the teenagers just sort of, you know,
yeah,
having sex and doing what and smoking dope and doing the, yeah, the standard teenager stuff at Woodstock. But then like the way it's filmed, like it feels like this is a continuation of that documentary because it's the same 16mm style camera. It feels like this van is just heading home after Woodstock. So it's got those same sort of characters.
There's definitely something documentary-esque about it.
I think Toby Hooper was a documentary maker before.
Okay.
Well, I think he did more documentaries anyway.
I see.
And it's like that intro as well, the way the intro text comes in that says, the film which you're about to see is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of five youths. And it sort of talk, and it says like, bizarre crimes in the annals of American history, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like it reads like a true crime documentary rather than a horror film. And do you think that kind of thing plays into the same energy that was there with the Blair Witch Project? That whole pseudo-realism that makes you think it can't be too far removed from you because it's real.
Definitely.
Feels real, yeah.
Definitely. And it's, again, another example of one of these films that probably when it came out, a lot of its audience probably were a bit like, God, did that actually happen? Did that thing actually happen? And I think when you're a lot younger and you start and you watch these films and you hear those rumors that surround the films before you watch them.
Yeah.
You know, before the era of the internet and before you could just debunk something. What was that?
Debunked.
Debunked.
Websites, yeah.
Yeah, before you could do that.
Bullshit.
Bullshit. It was just word of mouth, wasn't it? And if someone said, oh, you should watch this film, like these people got murdered like in the 70s, 60s or whatever. Watch it. It's terrifying. Like you watch it, but what you're going into it completely with your heart on your sleeve, thinking it could be real. And that horror, that terror kind of really does take over. Whereas if you're watching something, and you know, it's just 100% fiction. There's none of that air of ambiguity about it.
Mm.
It's much easier to sort of pick apart and say, well, that's ridiculous. That never bloody happened. This didn't happen. Just seeing this stuff sort of come to life.
Yeah.
Is scary. All the crazy stuff and all the violence kind of happens without fanfare.
So there's no jump scares. It just like when we first like see Leatherface, he literally just pops out.
Oh, I think.
pops hey. Out, and then like we will get into it when we get into the actual story. But like, it just seems so like I don't know. Like you just sort of saw a guy coming out of a door. There's no like jumping camera angles or anything. It was just.
The shocks are like real. There's no like real shrill noise when he just appears or when he clubs someone over the head with a hammer. There's no like, there's no fanfare and you know it's not over the top at all. It's just done real simply to the point. Bang! Here's something horrific happening. As you said, even though it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it is pretty light on the gore. You don't see limbs getting sliced off and flying off and. Squirts of blood flying up the wall and stuff. You don't really see that. It's kind of like the massacre bit feels like what came before, possibly, because there's a lot of
bones, there's all the
skulls and stuff.
The way it starts as well after that intro text, someone's like made like an art sculpture out of dead bodies.
Yeah. I think there's just something real creepy about hillbilly families in the South that might potentially be cannibals or mass murderers. Yeah. There is just something generally scary. And obviously this set it off. We saw a lot, there are loads of other films that kind of did it. And I mean, loads of Texas Chainsaw Massacre films. I mean, we've had a prequel and I think we're getting another prequel soon called Leatherface. Reboots and sequels and stuff. So obviously like this is the kind of slasher for me, like this, if you're calling this a slasher, would you call this a slasher genre? A slasher film?
I don't know if I would, because when I think of slashers, I've go to Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees, and also like the meta slasher, which is like Scream and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this feels like an actual Scooby-Doo episode, but like an actual horror. Sorry, like I was surprised actually. I thought Scooby-Doo would have come after this as a sort of play on this sort of film. Definitely. I didn't realize that Scooby-Doo came before.
No, that's definitely very. That's incredibly interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Scooby Doo. What else does Scooby Doo inspire? Many things, I'm sure. Drugs.
Drugs. Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Scooby snacks.
Yeah, but okay. So should we talk about the story and get into it?
All right.
Okay. Cool. So the key players in the film. I'm gonna reel them off here. There's quite a few. Marilyn Burns plays Sally. Alan Danziger plays Jerry. Paul R. Partain plays Franklin. He's the cripple. William Vale plays Kirk. He's one of the cool guys. Terry McKinn plays Pam.
Kirk. Sorry to interrupt. Kirk is just Disco Stew, right?
Disco Stew, yeah. He is Disco Stew. Edwin O'Neill plays like a hitchhiker. He's one of the cannibal people. Jim Siddo plays the dad of the cannibal family. Gunnar Hansen plays Leatherface. And John Dugan plays the granddad, who we'll talk a bit about, I think. But so he had this. So it starts with that text that kind of threw me off guard. I think the last time I saw it, I've only ever seen this once before. And I think it was another Stella Artois Channel 4 late night movie. There's quite a lot of those.
We've got Stella Artois to thank for so much.
Yeah.
Not just the wonderful beverage it brought into our lives, but also the many, many films we've seen late at night on Channel 4.
Because it was the only way I saw these kind of a lot of these films.
I miss the event of watching a film on TV. Like knowing a film was going to be on TV tonight.
Yeah.
And you're going to watch it and your friends were going to watch it and you're going to talk about it in school on Monday morning.
Yeah, and if you didn't watch it, then you'd be an outcast.
If you didn't watch it, you could just fuck off, mate. You could just fucking get out of here.
Yeah, and then that's how Leatherface was born. He didn't watch TV. With his friends, became a social outcast. You're right, you've got something in your mouth.
I just had an actual insect in my coffee.
That is an actual insect.
It is like an earwig or something. it is actually an earwig. It was an earwig in my coffee. How did it get in there? What is it doing in there? What have I consumed?
I swallowed a fly the other day, and you know, I didn't swallow it. I breathed it in, which I think is worse. Like when you inhale one, and it just goes right down the air hole. Yeah, I can see it, Ben. Yeah,
sorry, I was listening. I'm shocked.
Ben's holding the earwig.
I don't think I've ever had an earwig in my mouth ever, but I nearly swallowed it because I thought, oh, it's just a bit of grit or something. Oh, just swallow that down. Get that down your neck. Earwig.
It's the coffee granule.
I'm shaken up. Not only because I was enjoying that coffee.
Are you going to drink the rest of it?
No.
Why not?
Yeah, I might, actually. Wonder how it got in there, because that's a scald, not a cup of coffee.
Having a bath.
It was having a lovely bath.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've moved on from the film. Let's talk not about earwigs. Okay. Let's talk about the horror of Leatherface.
Anyway, it's good protein in it. Can't complain too much. Okay, so we start off with there's a scene where a local graveyard has been dug up. Some corpses have been made into some weird art sculptures. I don't really know. We ever find out too much about it, but it's just a creepy little thing to start the film off with. And then we cut to inside the Shaggin' Wagon. I don't know if that's a nickname for it, but it's that kind of thing. It's like a hippie love truck or something. And then we're introduced to all of the main guys. They're having a good time. On Wikipedia, it says they're going back to check on some grave. That makes sense. That's why they're going back, because the grave's been robbed. I didn't put two and two together at the time.
It was their grandfather, grave of one of their grandfathers. Is that right?
Oh, okay. So that's why they're going back.
I mean, this doesn't seem like that kind of trip, does it? You don't get the vibe that they're going.
That's why.
Just stop to investigate some vandalism. It's almost like
they're in party mode. They're I don't know. It just seems like they're just on a road trip.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
I thought they were on a road trip. I thought they were just coming back from somewhere they'd been partying or going somewhere to party.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was a bit confused about exactly where they were going and what they were doing.
Yeah.
Initially,
they pull up at one point, and because what's the name? Patrick, is it? Kirk? Who's the guy in the wheelchair?
Guy in a wheelchair.
Franklin. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So he needs a wee, and then they let him out. And he, for some reason, he pees into a tin. I didn't really understand.
Yeah. I thought the whole scenario of that, of sitting in a wheelchair and then peeing into a tin, you know, that was just awkward and difficult for everybody involved.
Yeah, and then and he falls down the hill.
Like he goes down the hill big time, doesn't he? I thought someone pushed him, but no, just slid down the hill. I mean, he's already he's a liability. I mean, no offense to Franklin. It's not because he's disabled in any way, but
he collects his pee in his tin.
Because he collects his pee in this tin and because he's not very good. Just put the bloody brakes on, mate. Come on.
Just put the brakes on.
He's really annoyed about going down the hill, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, God dang it. Oh, yeah. God damn.
He's a pretty funny guy. So at some point around here, they pick up a hitchhiker. And this is like a real goofy looking guy. I think he said he works at like a butcher slaughterhouse or something. Does that sound about right?
He says he works at the sort of local slaughterhouse. Okay, yeah, this guy was a bit correct. This is one of those guys where you're like, oh, we're going to pick up a hitchhiker. As soon as he gets in, you're like, get out, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You're crazy. You're crazy. I thought this guy reminded me a little bit of Adam Driver. You know?
Kylo Ren.
I thought if there was a legit remake of this, like it, not that there would be. There'd only need another remake. I think the official remake was 2003. But if there was a remake of this, Adam Driver would be an ideal crazy hitchhiker dude.
Who would make a good Leatherface?
Yeah, because he's playing a Southern guy in the new film Logan Lucky. So we'll see how his accent is.
Yeah.
See if he's ready to go.
They also mention, one of the girls mentions that Mercury's in retrograde, which is, I didn't even know what that was until quite recently. It's when, I don't think it's an English thing. In America, they say when Mercury's in retrograde, it means bad stuff happens, right? So, you heard that expression before? Are you not drinking your coffee, are you?
No. I think I've heard that like in a song, maybe.
Yeah.
As a lyric.
Block Party. Mercury's in retrograde.
Mercury's in... Yeah, exactly. When you said that then, I was just like, yeah, that's from that song, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm keep looking over just to make sure there's no like bugs crawling out of your mouth or your ear.
I feel like something's in my throat. I feel like something's in my mouth. I've got nowhere to put it. So the bug is just there, dead. You know, just
eat it. Finish the job.
Eat it. Get it down, you lad.
Okay, so Mercury in retrograde. That means it's going to go bad. So they pick up this hitchhiker, and he's a nutcake. He has like a little flowery bag thing that he takes a knife out of there, and then.
I like it. He's a nutcake, and the first thing you say is, he was a nutcake, he had a flowery bag. Like you're just walking down the street, seeing people with flowery bags, and going,
look at that nutcake.
He's got a flowery bag. She's got a flowery bag.
He's an absolute nutbox. So, like, he gets out this knife, and he seems kind of normal up until this point, and he goes, as if I'm going to show you a trick, he like cuts into his arm or his hand or something, pretty deep. And then he just shows it to them, and as if like, look what I've done.
All right, David Blaine, I'm going to show you a trick. Shazam! You just cut your hand, mate. You just cut your hand. That was it. That's not a trick. If you cut your hand, and then you looked, and it was no longer cut. That would have been a trick.
Yeah.
And then he gets the old Polaroid picture, the Polaroid camera, hasn't he?
Takes the picture and then tries to get them to pay for it, which is a classic. We all do it. I take pictures of people all the time, so that's a tenner.
I take pictures of people against their will, usually through some bushes, through their living room window, and then go knock on the door and demand money for it. They're always angry about it.
Just taking this picture of you from that bush. Can I have some money?
And they always get angry, which I think is like ungrateful.
Yeah. So that's when you get your knife out. And then, so this is a weird bit. So he cuts Franklin. So he gets a bit like miffed because they don't want to pay for his photo. He says, like, that's $2 down the bin. Because they're Polaroid. You only get, six or something. And then that's, like, £20 gone. Okay, so then he gets his knife and he cuts Franklin across the arm. And he jumps out of the van and he starts blowing raspberries at them in frustration. like that, sort of as they go by.
Oh, I'm so frustrated. How do I vent this frustration? Oh, that is it.
I've only ever seen one person blow a raspberry in frustration. It was my mum. When we were in the back of the car, and because she never swore around us, she has terrible road rage, but she wasn't allowed to swear. And then a guy, like, she was, she tried to get in a parking spot, and the guy went in there first, went, oh, you, out the window, and then we drove off. And we were, And then all of his kids were like, "Oh man, mum's angry."
How did the guy react? Did he even see it?
I don't know, you know, because
looked out of his window. And just saw him.
Yeah, I imagine he blew a raspberry back.
Have you got a go-to word that you will say in frustration if you really want to swear, but you know you can't in that particular scenario?
There's no situation where I don't allow myself to swear, because I don't really swear that often anyway.
Yeah,
I only swear like.
Do you ever swear around like a new audience, and then you give yourself a few seconds to go, just gauge your reaction to these people. So I've C-bombed, and they've only met me for 4 seconds.
I don't C-bomb. I don't think.
I like to C-bomb, but I like to
you
say
like
it in
to
like.
C-bomb.
I like to C-bomb, but I like to say it in like a northern accent, so then it's a bit more playful.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What I mean? People can't take you quite so seriously if you're just going. C-bombing.
Thing is, I can't say it without it sounding like I'm just sincerely talking about the actual thing, like.
Talking about it.
Yeah, but like, I can't even say it now. Like that's I just wouldn't say it. Like it's not in my.
I thought about saying it, but I thought we shouldn't drag this show even further into the gutter.
Yeah,
because we don't need C-bombs. We might get some. We might get flagged.
We already had fucking earwigs on it.
You would have had a fucking earwig in my fucking coffee, mate. Don't fucking make me say the C-word. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens now? Okay. So they leave the hitchhiker. He like leaves a bloody mark handprint on the side of the van. He blows some raspberries, and then he get to the gas station because they need to fill up some gas. Franklin's worried that what's his flavor, fruitcake is gonna come after him.
Flowery Bagman. Yeah, he seems to think that the blood on the truck is kind of like a marking.
Yeah,
you know when you hear those rumors when you're like. Is there this symbol sprayed outside your house? That's burglars telling everyone else that it's ready, ripe for burglaring. Have you heard those stupid rumors?
Yeah, but I like the way you said it.
I can't even say it.
Ripe for burglaring.
Ripe for burglarizing. It's ripe for burglarizing. I always heard rumors. People sharing on Facebook going, oh, if you see this symbol spray painted somewhere, it means... Your house is going to become a crackdown. I don't know.
Interesting. I need to look into that to make sure that my house isn't going to get turned into a crackdown while I'm in bed. So this is another, when you get to the petrol station, gas station. When you get to the gas station, this is a trope. And they haven't got any gas, so they're going to have to, fill up the next day or something. So this is a trope that I don't know when The Hills Have Eyes came out, but it's not something I've seen before this, so this must be
it was Have Eyes, maybe like late 70s possibly.
yeah so this is trapped, it's what we see more and more nowadays.
But you always, whoever's owning the gas station, you always think they are lying. Okay, Hills Have Eyes, 1977,
and the guy who got to the play, Jim Sado, is an absolute mole man.
Hans Mole Man. I'm 24 years old.
they've got like this such a weird sort of people to play this family so far. Maybe a bit of a spoiler there. They might have had spoilers in this episode. Anyway, so we'll fill up the tank tomorrow. We'll pop some gas in there later. So they go to this like little house. I think where their grandparents lived or something. I mean, it looks like a shithole. Like, it's not somewhere else. I'm swearing more now you said it. It looks like a right fucking tit wank house.
It looks like a right tit wank of a house. Yeah, I know what you mean there. Does it?
Yeah. It's messy, is what I'm saying.
It's a bit of a shithole, but it looks like it's been abandoned or something. So they've all got like memories there, you guess.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of like weird artwork, I think, in some of the places where obviously someone's been a bit of a Blair Witch sort of thing going on. And then two of them, another bit of a trope, we get the young couple decide to go off for a swim. But there's no water. And then
they go to find a swimming hole, but it turns out the hole's dry.
So they want to get some hanky done, yeah. The hole is dried up, and then they find this other house, and then they go in, and this is like the first horror bit, because I mean, this is quite far into the film as well.
Yeah, this is like, I mean, the house looks pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's better than that.
What do you think?
Tintwake house.
Better than that Tintwake. I mean, from outside, it looks pretty lovely.
Yeah.
But, you know, they do this classic thing where no one's answering the door.
Why
just
would you go
inside?
Yeah. Why is that normal?
That never happens. That never happens. No one ever does that. They just leave.
Well, then again, Kat's mum does it. Yeah. Like when my fiance's mum, when we're not in, she just walks in.
Well, that's your fiance's mum.
I suppose it's a little bit different.
I suppose it's different, but you react in the same way as Leatherface does in this scene. And you club her over the head with an hammer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay, and then so they go inside. Kirk is not the Disco Stew guy, but he's very cool. Not quite as cool as Disco Stew. But he goes in, and then, like I said, Leatherface just opens the door, and he takes a mallet to his head.
Yeah, pretty much in silence as well. Does he make a noise? Does he sort of go, eh?
Yeah, he makes some, like, you know, the Tusken Raiders from Star Wars.
Yeah. That is true. That is exactly the noise Leatherface makes.
So Leatherface pops out.
One more time, please, Luke, just so I can.
And then
that was a little bit Chewbacca.
Star Wars on the brain, and then Stu gets a hammer on the brain. Kirk gets a hammer on the brain, and then this is, I actually thought this was kind of horrific. The way he falls down, and then he just starts like his leg starts like just like spasming.
Yeah, there's two.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I think the two most effective bits of this film for me, the bits that I remember the most when it comes to talking about this film, is all in this scene. He gets hit with the hammer and then is subsequently sort of like twitching and jerking from that. And it's how, I don't know why it sticks with me, but it's how Leatherface pulls the body inside and then it's how he slams the metal door across.
Yeah, he seems like pissed off. And he's got to get back to the butcher shop.
It's like, it's just so effective because, you know, as soon as that door shuts, all of the sound from him and from the body just completely shuts off. It goes quiet for a second.
Yeah.
And it's that where it's like, fucking hell, Jesus, he's been bludgeoned.
Yeah. And then Pam, she wakes outside for a little bit, but then decides to go inside. And then we see like a load of... This annoys me. So Pam goes inside after Kirk's been hammered in the head. And then she sort of falls into the living room and there's like all this artwork made of bones and there's like skulls and stuff. She's there for like 20 minutes going,
It's proper screaming, I promise.
You've
seen some bones, but don't be shocked by every new bone you see.
Yeah,
like, there's a skull there. There's another skull there.
just like take it all in.
It's OTT, isn't it? It's OTT. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
First thing you do is you see that shit, you get the hell out of there. You wouldn't be in there in the first place. Yeah. You would not be in there, even if your matey boy had gone in there. You would not go in there. She goes in a different room. Why does she fall in as well? That happens a lot, doesn't it? In films like this. people fall into things. Like, it takes...
Well, you see, serial killers like to put race toy cars.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say I got the best balance in the world. I mean, I fall on my ass occasionally, but I think it'd take a lot for me to like fall into a room. And if I opened the door and there was like some horrible stuff in there,
very liquid. I'll probably
very liquid.
You know, the only thing I fall down is when I'm wearing my socks on the stairs and I'm going downstairs in a rush and I do that awkward thing where you fall on your ass. Sort of go down 2 steps, you and then you just like 2 minutes later, are you all right?
Are you all right? Fucking
oh, no, I used to fall upstairs a lot because I used to run upstairs. Kids, we don't do it anymore when we're a bit older. Well, I don't. You see that weird thing where you sort of like pounce on the stairs like Wolverine or Spider Man, like hands first, sort of like stair bouncing.
I reckon I still do that occasionally. I always run upstairs. This is I don't know why.
Am I an old man?
Do you run upstairs? Would you just walk upstairs?
You can just walk upstairs now. What's happened to me?
I always run upstairs. I don't know why. It's almost like they're an inconvenience. It's like, I'm on the bottom floor. I want to be on the next floor. For God's sake, these stairs. I always run upstairs.
Yeah, I need to start running upstairs again, I think. Because that was good exercise as well.
Yeah. It was a good 4 seconds of exercise.
Yeah. And I'm going to start doing it at work as well. In the work stairwell.
Yeah, do that and push. You've got to barge people. You got to barge people out of the way. Basically, if people come too close, just growl at them. That's Leatherface, that is. Sorry, Leatherface.
You're a horror fan. Nice. Okay. Yeah, so she's looking at the art. She's screaming. Time's ticking away. She goes into the other room, and I think Leatherface finds her in the same way he found Kurt.
I mean, it's pretty much Christmas for Leatherface, isn't it? Because he strikes me as the kind of person who goes out and about looking for his victims, bringing them back, ripping their skin off.
Do you think he does this often, then? Because they think of, like, dead bodies, don't they? Like, I can't imagine they get that much.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Fresh business.
Probably,
yeah.
That's probably a good point. So you think... So his skin mask is made out of dead bodies?
I don't know, but yeah, I think, I don't know, we should look into that. But okay, so this is the bit that horrifies me, that I remember very much from the Stella Artois Channel 4 Midnight movie, where he picks up the girl and then he just sort of hooks her onto this like meat hook.
Yeah.
And then she's just like unable to move, stuck to this hook. And and as she's sort of like draining her blood and whatever, he just starts cutting up and chainsawing the boyfriend that he killed earlier.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. It's horrific. Like even in today's standard, I think that's a really horrible scene to watch.
Yeah, it was pretty definitely brutal.
And all because she stared at that art a little bit too long.
Yeah, come on. Come on, love. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then Disco Stu. So Disco Stu, yeah, so he goes after them. He's like, where the hell is this guy's gone? And he manages to find, quite far away, but he still manages to find, he follows the clues. Oh, the pool's dry. I bet they're...
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty good detective. I know people say Batman is the world's greatest detective. The world's greatest detective is Disco Stu, a.k.a.
Scooby-Stu.
I can't even say that. It's Jerry from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, he is a great detective.
And
I mean,
he like disco walks. Is he like... finds clues.
That's a sick beat.
Yeah.
Anyway. I mean, he is the epitome of disco. I mean, I know we're describing him. He's got afro, little round specs. And has he got like...
And a sweet ass.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's got a sweet ass. He's got some... what kind of trousers he got on? Flares?
Flares, yeah.
I was going to say chaps then. He's got those assless chaps on. He's looking good. You wait, Leatherface, till you see this. You can't handle this.
See the skin. Okay. Right. So anyway, Disco Stu goes in there and he goes in the house like the other did, and he finds a fridge, and I think he goes in for a ice pop, and then the lady who got hooked is in there. She's sort of dead but alive-ish, like halfway between. She ain't gonna make it. Yeah.
No.
And then Does he get so opposite? So he gets killed with the. How does he get killed?
I think he gets clubbed again, doesn't he?
He gets clubbed as well. Okay,
I think he gets clubbed again. I mean, yeah. Leatherface doesn't strike me. I know he likes a chainsaw. Chainsaw's like his that's his thing.
He doesn't do it that often though, does he? I mean, it's only like halfway through the film.
Yeah.
Maybe
the hammer is maybe the Texas Hammer Massacre.
The Texas Butcher Massacre. Texas Slaughter. Chainsaw Massacre did have a nice ring to it.
Yeah. It sure does.
Yeah. So even Disco Stu's afro can't withhold the power of the hammer.
He's got some of his best hairspray on the afro.
Yeah.
But the hammer just smashes through it, you know? I mean, that's not... He's obviously trying a different brand, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so he's dead. So that's three down, and then we've got two left, which I think are brother and sister. Sally and Franklin. Franklin's the guy in the wheelchair. Sally's the girl.
She's that girl.
She's the final girl, yeah. So night's coming down. They're looking for the friends. They've not come back. I think they decide to go have a little walk out. Leatherface appears out of nowhere. This bit's pretty brutal.
Yep.
He shoves the chainsaw right into Franklin's middle, and it goes on for quite a while. And then Franklin's obviously dead. No one could take a chainsaw to the middle and still live through it.
He had no healing potions on him, so he's gone.
Yeah. And okay.
I kind of wanted a better end for Franklin, because, you know.
Yeah, he was the main character of all of those people.
I wanted him to just rise up out of his wheelchair at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe with like some robotic legs and take Leatherface down.
You know, like in Planet Terror, where a thingy fixes like an AR rifle to a stun.
Yeah.
Kind of wanted something like that to happen.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously, because he was the one who was like the most freaked out about everything. He was the one who was a bit like, something ain't right here. Do you know what I mean? He kind of felt like he deserved a more fitting end than perhaps Sally. He should have probably been the last one left than Sally, but I guess.
But the final girl, I wonder if that trope comes from this.
Yeah, possibly. Probably.
Possibly. Okay, cool.
Now starts some crazy running away from Leatherface scenes that got me out of breath. I don't know about you, but I was out of breath watching these scenes. She sprints off away from Leatherface, screaming and
falling,
yelping,
tripping,
and falling, tripping, and doing all that stuff you know, that final girl should do. And Leatherface is right behind her. He's light on his feet.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a big guy. He's got a big chainsaw.
Yeah.
But he is nimble.
Roller skates. The 70s, man. Come on.
Yeah, at one point, I did think he was moving along.
Gliding,
He's just gliding along. But yeah, so she kind of like runs back into the house, which is like, would you run back into the house? Do you know what I mean? Would you?
Wait, she goes into their house, right? Not.
Is this a different house, yeah?
What it's not their grandparents' house. I'm pretty sure she goes into.
Oh, sorry, she hasn't been in there yet. Sorry.
No, okay.
I was getting her confused with the first girl who got meat hooked. Because they do look pretty similar.
They do, yeah.
In my head, I'm trying to remember who's who, and they look the same.
Yeah. She runs upstairs and she finds like an old couple, and they look they're dead, but for all intents and purposes, they're dead. Like, they're dried up. Dead.
They're dried up like a couple of raisins.
Yeah, I think she asked one of them for help, and like the head just sort of lolls to the side.
She still asked them for help.
Yeah,
I said, "Help me!
What's
wrong with you?"
And then she jumps through a window to get away from Leatherface.
Yeah, so Leatherface comes upstairs, and
does
she's like,
"Twice does she jump through two windows?"
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, she does. She does. She jumps through a window later as well. She jumps through a window with ease.
Yeah.
I mean, that is thin glass.
I bet she pounces upstairs as well.
She pretty much like walks through the window. She just goes like,
yeah, single pane up there back then. They didn't have double glazing.
That's it. She walks through it like it was just
like T-1000, walking through it like a wall, like a prison bars, whatever you call them.
Exactly. Okay. You box her in, she's gonna get out of there. She's gonna walk straight through the wall.
Yeah. Okay. So she runs away. She gets away from Leatherface. But she makes her way back to the petrol station, sorry, the gas station, and the guy's there. There is actually quite a creepy bit. Like, we know something's wrong up here. So he says, sit down there, it's fine. And he leaves the door open. And Leatherface is literally out there like 2 seconds ago. And it's like this is very like this weird pregnant energy that like Leatherface is just going to turn up at any point. But he doesn't.
Yeah. He could just casually walk into a scene. I think that's what's quite scary about it.
Yeah. And then this is, because that's what he does before, doesn't he? Just appears.
There's no build-up. There's no oh my God, Leatherface is going to be here in a minute. Yeah. Oh my God, the music doesn't build. There's not like those classic moments where you see it from Leatherface's point of view and he appears. Yeah. He just casually strolls into a scene.
On mode. Generates a character sprite that sort of pops out of nowhere.
Yeah, he doesn't don't make a noise, or go, look, I'm here, or actually, he might make a noise.
Look, I'm here, guys. It's me.
Over here. Yeah. Over here, Leatherface here, come on.
So, have you played Resident Evil 4?
I have indeed.
There's a... When you first go into that town at the start, and you just hear this like somewhere in the distance, like you know there's a chainsaw going. I find that's
and it takes so much to kill those chainsaw wielding guys. So it's the guys with a sack on his head, isn't it?
Yeah, sack head.
Oh man, you blow that guy in the face, you blow him off, you blow that guy in the face and in the knob.
It's a weird game,
and he still don't die. It's because you hear it.
Resident Evil took a turn.
It's when you're in a village area or something, like it's quite open.
Yeah.
And you just hear it, and it's hard to tell exactly where it is, and you're just kind of around a corner, and he'll just be there.
Yeah. But there's some
there's
something sort of like scariness here. I think because a chainsaw is such like a powerful weapon that it's just a scary idea that like you would have to get away from it or something.
It's just because as soon as it comes at you, you can have your head off.
They cut trees, man. Chainsaws, they cut trees down. Okay, so he's hiding in this in the gas station. The guy's like, wait here. And then this is where Hans Molman suddenly gets a bag, and like he obviously, we know pretty quickly that he's in cahoots.
He's bad news, man.
But he like puts a, I think he gets like a broom, and starts like poking him with a broom, and like like he's got kind of like a weird.
He starts brooming her backwards.
Yeah, trying to broom her into a sack. I don't know how he does, but he gets her into this like sack, and then into the car. He drives her back to his dad's house. We meet the hitchhiker from earlier. He's been out all day. He's just got back. So
what
now
it's
all,
now it's all coming
together. Yeah, and Leatherface is there. It's all coming together. So then he says, right, you're coming for dinner. He puts Sally on in this dinner table. And then now we get like the whole family's here. And one of the old dead people from before, the dad, is there, and he looks like a dead body, but then I think they cut Sally's finger and like shove it into the dead guy's mouth, and he starts like sucking on it. It's gross.
He's got like the prosthetics in this are a bit lame, so his mask is like a classic sort of horrible old man face.
Yeah,
Leatherface at this point is dressed as a woman as well.
Leatherface is a weird. Because when you think of like those sort of those killers, those classics like Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees, there's something very insanely masculine and sort of straight about them. Do you know what I mean?
When I say straight,
I mean like I don't mean like non-flowery or like anything, but I just mean like
they haven't got a flowery.
They're like a Terminator. They're like a machine. But like Leatherface is such a weird sort of character. He makes these like squeaking noises.
Yeah,
and like he's
almost like a bit. He's scary. He's a bit vulnerable.
Yeah, he's like a big dumb child.
He's like a big dumb bloody idiot, isn't he?
Yeah.
And also, this family, I think they're all in. They're all proper into this cannibal killing stuff.
Yeah.
Is one of them not like I'm not into this? I much prefer like golf, and I'm just gonna go off and play some golf.
Well, we don't see the old mum. Do we?
Like, no, we don't see the mum. We don't see
playing crazy golf.
There's no sisters. These are the ones who are left. These are the crazy cannibals who are left.
Yeah, yeah. And then this, it gets like a fever pitch here. Like Sally's like screaming for about 20 minutes. They're all of them are trying to. They're like laughing and giggling at her. And then they put the hammer into the dead guy's. He's not dead, but he's pretty much dead. Like this old the granddad of them.
The old fart.
They put like a. Hammer into his hand, but he can't hold it, it's too weak, and they're trying to make him like crack her head open, and they succeed to a degree, But like he's dying, this old guy.
Even when he like drops the hammer onto her head, I'm like, that's still bloody hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like it chips a bit out, doesn't it? Like there's a flap of hair. It's probably like the goriest thing we see, actually. We don't see much blood in this at all.
It's when she leaps and she escapes, leaps through a window.
She sees a window and she goes, "All right, I know what to do."
All right, like that, is it?
Yeah.
Let me out of it.
Alley-oop.
Not even head first. Straight it's like finger. It's like fingers first.
Fingers first. Fingers first for the window. And then she runs away. Leatherface now chases her, and the hitchhiker guy chases her. Again, we're at fever pitch. She goes like the sun's rising now. It's gone crazy. She's running away. She gets to middle of the road. The hitchhiker gets run over by a truck.
Yeah,
his body gets properly rolled.
He gets absolutely flattened, flowery bag and all.
Yeah, yeah. And then she jumps onto like the back of this guy's truck, and then Leatherface, and then they get away. And Leatherface is just dancing around with this like chainsaw, just going a bit mad.
Yeah, there was a bit where sort of this guy gets out of a trailer, didn't he, and tries to sort of help her, and that's when he throws a wrench at like Leatherface's head, and he falls over and like chainsaws his own leg.
Yeah.
And he ain't happy about that.
No.
But she does get away in the end. She's covered in blood. She's sort of looking back. It's kind of like, it's real early morning, so the sun's just rising, and he's kind of chasing her.
Quite a pretty shot.
A pretty shot, yeah.
So these scenes were all filmed on 60mm cameras, so they had to have a lot of light to get the images. So it's interesting to see how they... like how bright some of the images are, because I imagine that would be super difficult.
I wonder how they did some of the scenes at night then, if that's the case.
Yeah. Just like a load of studio lights, I guess. I don't really know.
Just a load of bloody big lights, mate. Massive torch.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how it ends. I mean, it's kind of a cool visual ending. It's by that point, I'm ready for that to end, because it's been screaming for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay,
she's been screaming for so long. I was ready for her to shut up because she'd been screaming for most of the film. And I understand she was in a terrifying scenario, but just shut up.
Yeah. Okay, so shitty pants moments, jump scares. Is there anything that we missed that you caught?
Shitty pants moments, just when he appears in various guys in various scenes, when he just walks into the scene. That was pretty scary. But that's because it wasn't expected, you know. In films like this, you kind of expect a bit of a build. You kind of know when that jump scare, when that killer's gonna suddenly appear.
Yeah. You're right.
Earwig. and yeah, but when he just walked into the shot, it was a bit like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The finger sucking that creeped me out a bit.
Oh yeah, was this something that was happening during the film?
Yeah, well, earwig.
Were you sucking on your own finger again? I shouldn't have done that, sorry.
And what else was scary? I don't know, I mean, yeah.
Sorry, go on.
The whole idea of being chased by a man with a chainsaw is kind of...
Yeah, and I mean, the chasing sequences were relentless, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it was hard, they didn't let up. It was just constantly like... Oh, he's right behind you. See, again, comparing it to a game, you know, when you're like running away from some sort of creature or some sort of thing, and you're running away. Maybe like let's do a Resident Evil one again. The nemesis in Resident Evil.
Yeah.
When you go for the door for the first time in Resident Evil 3, you're like, in the other Resident Evil games, if you go for a door, the creature's always on the other side.
Yeah.
You walk into the room a bit, suddenly Nemesis is behind you. You can never get away from him.
Yeah.
Constantly running. He's got a rocket launcher. That's not fair. Running.
Leverfoot.
Yeah. Oh, it's not fair. I'm not playing this anymore.
Yeah.
It was like that. It was just like the relentless pursuing beast.
It was
annoying. It was just like, just give up, mate. I mean, he's a bigger lad. You think he'd run out of breath, but he doesn't.
It's cardio. And high protein diet. Yeah. So, trivia. You ready?
Cool. Why, of course.
Okay, Luke. Number one, during development... Oh, but I was going to say, so Toby Hooper, he directed Poltergeist, which we talked about before, and we talked about how it was actually directed... We felt like it was actually directed by Steven Spielberg, And it's actually come out as true. So I think very recently, Toby Hooper's actually said that Steven Spielberg was on set every day and he was directing every shot. And but it's because he couldn't. Steven Spielberg had already got another film coming out and he couldn't have two.
It was E.T., wasn't it?
Interesting. Very interesting. I didn't know that.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be annoying if you're Toby Hooper, wouldn't it?
Yeah. He seems like he's taking it on the chin. Okay, so number one. during development, Toby Hooper used the working titles of Head Cheese and Leatherface.
Head Cheese.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I wonder, is he talking about Leatherface as Head Cheese?
I don't know.
I think he must be. Is he talking about Sally? or Stew?
Disco Stew, man.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Number two, Toby Hooper intended to make the movie a PG rating by keeping violence moderate, language mild, and having the most of the horror implied off-screen rather than on-screen. So he wanted a PG rating.
PG? False.
No, it's true. Apparently, according to the internet, but we'll never really know. But a PG rating sounds insane. Like, when I think of PG, I think of E.T.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Jurassic Park or something. Yeah. That's mad. That's mad.
Toby Hooper.
Was he still going to call it the Texas Chainsaw Massacre? PG version of the Texas Chainsaw. Well, what happened is the chainsaw come down. It cut away immediately to a lovely flowery bag.
Yeah. There isn't much swearing and stuff, but like, there's enough violence. Like, I would never go for PG. No, he's insane. Yeah.
Even if the violence appeared off screen, it would still be a pretty terrifying film, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so number three. Leatherface's first line came through as gibberish in the film, but in the script, it was actually written as, "Oh, hello, my name is Leatherface. I was practicing my butcher moves."
I really hope that's false. False.
It's false. He didn't say anything. So number four, the real Texas Chainsaw Massacre actually took place near Poff, a small town about 36 miles southeast of San Antonio.
That's got to be true. It's too specific.
False. The film is fictional and is based loosely on the life of Wisconsin serial killer Ed Gein, as is the classic Psycho.
You've had me there. I think I misunderstood the question.
Right, okay. Well,
give me half a point, Ed. Give me half a point. No, that's all right. That's all right. Take the point away from me. I know what you're like. Stern when it comes to these things.
Yeah, mathematical. I've got them all written down, how many points you've got. I actually have no idea how many of these you've got right in this this particular episode.
Let's be honest, Luke. I get most of them right most weeks. Let's not muck about, all right? Okay. I've got a mug.
Right, okay. Number five. The narrator at the beginning of the film, his payment for doing the narration was a marijuana cigarette.
True.
It's true, yeah. Those were the times. Those were the days.
Those were the times, man. You could buy anything. You could walk into any general store and buy everything with marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah. Free love and a marijuana joint and a bit of film narration. Okay.
Yeah. Can I have some money though? Because I've got to pay my rent.
Nah.
Sorry.
Pay your landlord and joints.
Yeah.
Secondhand smoke, blowbacks.
Joints of meat.
Yeah. Okay. So that's it. You did well. I think you got one or two right in that one.
great stuff.
So we need to rate the film.
Oh.
Have you got a rating in mind?
I think so.
We're going to say it at the same time. You ready?
All right, countdown from three.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, B.
B. Look at that.
I kind of knew it'd be a P. I don't know why.
We're on a wavelength. We're on the same wavelength. Yeah. It'd be good if we were a little bit more confrontational with our ratings. You know, if you really loved it and I really hated it and we were like, ugh. Yeah. But, you know,
yeah.
we get to the point in the podcast, you know, there's not really any time for debate.
In the future, I'm going to start guessing what you're going to guess, what you're going to give it.
I'm not that predictable, am I? I'm not predictable. Or maybe I'm going to mix it up. Maybe one day I'm just going to throw an F in there. Even if I like it.
You won't throw an F in there.
I will. I'll throw an F in there.
Okay.
I kind of think with these, it's difficult. When you watch this film, it's hard to...
Talk.
It's hard to... I try and compare it to films we've previously... sort of rated, but then I find it hard to remember what I rated other films. So
we're too far gone now. Like, I just have to, whatever I'm feeling at the moment, like I can't have any game plan as to
I just do it on a night, you know. I just do it on a night. However I feel
this
on
is the night.
This is the night, man. However I feel on the night, I think, yeah, B.
Yeah. Me too. Hey. I think it's a really great film. It's not one of my favorites. I think I can understand why people really, really like it and really dig it. And I'm sure because it gave birth to lots of tropes, the whole American cannibals and that kind of thing, and the petrol station and the final girls and the chainsaws and the leather faces. You know, it's great. But it's, it doesn't hold that much nostalgia for me because I only watched it when I was quite a bit older and after I'd seen a lot of the stuff that this influenced.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It influenced a lot. There's like been remakes and prequels and all that stuff. And there's probably going to be, there's a new one coming out. I've said that already, called Leatherface. No, it's the vegan version. Pleverface is coming out soon. That's going to be great. He's not going to kill anyone though. No, we would never do that. It's against his morals.
Yeah. By the way, he's meant to be a real butcher, right? Like Leatherface.
I don't know if he's qualified, mate.
Right, okay, because I've seen one of the prequels, or one of the sequels, I'm not too sure, and he's actually a butcher, like he's a qualified butcher.
For God's sake. This is with the prequels, like with prequels of anything, especially horror films, part of the thing that makes it scary is the mystery. We don't need to know if Leatherface was like, used to be a lawyer. Or he loves a can of Fanta. We don't need to know. We don't need to know any of this stuff.
Lilt, I think it was in the film.
sorry, Luke. I'll get confused sometimes.
Lilt Zero.
Lilt Zero. He loved that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We don't need to know all these things. Like, I mean, sometimes it's cool to have a bit of backstory, but all these things are silly. I do want to watch. I do want to watch the remake again because I think I quite enjoyed that. There is one called The Beginning as well. I wouldn't mind watching that. Not to enjoy it, just so I can...
Maybe that's what I'm picking up. Like, one of them, he's a real butcher. The only reason I say this is because in this film, when you butcher something, you bleed something out, right? You don't just let it... You don't start chainsawing something, right? So I don't know. I don't think he
doesn't seem like the kind of person who has any logic in comparison. No offense, Leatherface.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the kind of person who's got any logic in comparison. Like, if he came in and you're like, oh, Leatherface, you clocked in. Okay. Leatherface, have you cleaned all the... washed down all those surfaces?
At the end of this film where he's dancing around with a thing, did his alarm on his watch go, and goes, oh, I've got to go for work.
Oh, bloody hell, 9 to 5 again. little butcher's hat goes on.
Yeah. Opened up the shop.
Oh, man.
Okay, cool. So that's it. So it's a B. It's a B between both of us. So it's a great film. Definitely recommend it. It's on Shudder and Amazon. And, DVD, apparently. So next up, next week, we are talking about The Others. Quite high on this list. I think it's a little bit of a shocker. A bit of a twist in the tail there.
But I
enjoy this. I don't know if you did. But we'll have to see how we get on with it. So this show is brought to you by Story Studio, Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com and grab a free book. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovach Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating. Cheers. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.